First Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. First Samuel chapter 22 verse 1. Okay, I'm just reading from the New King James. I think that's also New King James. But let's just read together. First Samuel chapter 22 from verse 1 it says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, gathered together to him. So he became captain over them. There were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab and said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went to the forest of Hereth. We've just read chapter 22, but if you spend a bit of time reading chapter 21, you will find that David actually ran away from King Saul. King Saul was jealous of David and wanted to kill David, so David ran away from King Saul. And then when he came to the Philistines, there was King Achish of the Philistines. And when he came to the Philistines, David feared for his life, so he acted like a madman, and so he managed to escape from the Philistines. That's the background before he come to 22. And so when we reach 22, we find David is in a desperate situation. David, most likely he is only alone, or he's got only a few men with him. He escapes away, he goes to this place called Adullam. Now the word Adullam simply means a hole in the ground. A hole in the ground, or just a simple cave. David goes, David flees from Israel. He is actually anointed the next king of Israel, but the next king of Israel is fleeing from Israel. He's not honored by King Saul. King Saul is jealous. He runs away. He goes to this place, which is a hole in the ground. It's not much to look at. He's desperate. And at this point, the Bible tells us his parents come to him and his brothers come to him. His family comes to David. Now, David, I don't think at this point has got much money. David doesn't have much. He doesn't have much riches. His family joins him. Now, if you think in modern times, it's not easy to feed someone, right? Let alone yourself. Now David has to look after himself. Now his parents come across and joins him. Now his parents actually are afraid for their lives, because if they stay in their home, most likely King Saul will go and do something to his family because of David. So they flee their home, they join David. David has more mouths to feed. Now when you read on further, you find that David, actually, there's another 400 men who joins David. Now we're not talking about an extra 2 people, 3 people, 5 people. This is 400 people. And now when you're reading properly that verse, you find that these are not your wealthy or middle class or wealthy people with money who can help David. These are people who are weak, they're distressed, they're bankrupt, they have nothing, and they come and join themselves to David. Now can you imagine David has got hardly anything. He has to look after his family, worry about their security, and then 400 people come and join David. Now he has to think about food, he has to think about clothing, he has to think about security and all those things. Now, if you're under any pressure, let me tell you, you've never experienced pressure like David experienced pressure. David was under extreme pressure. If you had 2 children, 3 children, 5 children, you never experienced pressure like David experienced pressure. He had 400 bankrupt men joining him. He's under so much pressure. But then he goes to the Moabite kingdom and he asks the king, can you look after my parents? His parents are put with Moabites. But the 400 men and his other brothers stay with David. He still has to look after them. Now you might wonder, where are you going with this, Pastor? Well, I was thinking, you know, I actually woke up on Tuesday morning and this scripture came to my heart. Not this scripture, there's another scripture which I will share with you shortly. There's another scripture God dropped into my heart. I got up and I began to pray very early in the morning. It was quite dark, kept praying, and God began to minister to me. And if I could give a title of this sermon, I would give it the title of that song. How many of you know the song, Turn It Around? How many of you know the song, right? Turn it around, you know? And that's the title of the sermon. David is under so much pressure, but if you will find that later on David's situation turns around, Saul is defeated, David becomes a great king, he defeats the Philistines, he looks after his family well, his family prospers, David becomes the king of Israel, the 400 men who were bankrupts, who were distressed, who joined themselves to David, became later on the mighty men of David. They became prosperous. They began to become mighty men of David. David's situation turned around. He faced so much pressure, but David's situation still turned around. Let me tell you, God can turn it around. If you're facing pressure, David faced pressure. But if David's situation turned around, your situation can turn around. Amen, everyone. God can turn any situation around. If he can do it with David, he can do it with you. And this is the scriptures God gave me in Psalm 63. This is a psalms that David, you know, that David writes, that describes, that he writes when he is in the wilderness, in this place. David writes these psalms. And he pens these psalms when he's in this hole in the ground, when he's in Adullam, in this cave. He writes these psalms and he pens it out. Psalm 63, and listen to what it says, a powerful psalms. This is how I believe David's situation turned around. And he says in Psalm 63, David is under pressure. David is going through tough times in the hole in the ground. Listen to what David starts with in Psalm 63. It says right on the top, before verse 1. Can you see your Bibles? Before verse 1, even there. Before verse 1, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He was in the wilderness of Judah, a psalms of David. It is connected to 1 Samuel 22. Then he says, David is under so much pressure. And this is what he says. Oh God, you are my God. What does he say? Come on, everyone. What's the next one? What does he say? Come on, 2, 3. Early will I seek you. I'm under pressure, God, but early will I seek you. I've got all these thoughts going through my mind, but early will I seek you. I got all these mouths to feed, but early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. I will not seek early in the morning the computer. Hello, everyone. I will not go to Facebook first thing in the morning. I will not go to my accountants first thing in the morning. Sorry, Ranjesh. I will not call my accountant first thing in the morning. I will not go to the doctor first thing in the morning. Early in the morning, I will seek you. Amen. When I'm under so much pressure, there's one place I go to. Early in the morning, I will seek you. Early in the morning, I will seek you. But that's not all. He writes on further. And he goes on, he says, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. You know, dry and thirsty land talks about a place without salvation. You know, the Bible tells us that when the demons come out of a man, they go through dry places. Those are places without salvation. Salvation is linked to water. You see, so over here, David is under so much pressure. He says, I seek for you in a dry and thirsty land, in a place without salvation. If there is so much pressure, yet under so much pressure, I will seek you early. Then he says, where there is no water. Verse 2, I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now notice this, verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Now this is the part, verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. He prays in the morning, he gets up from his bed, of course he brushes his teeth, and then he begins to pray in the morning, and then during the day, I will bless you while I live. He doesn't just have a quiet time, a polite quiet time, and then during the day, he worries about the pressure. You get what I'm saying? How many of us actually see God in the morning, but when we come out of the doors of, out of the closet of seeking God, we start worrying about what's going to happen? But David here, he's completely consumed with the knowledge of God, amen? He's not denying the pressure, he's dealing with it, yes, like we should deal with issues, but he's not focused on those issues, he's focusing on the faithfulness of God. Amen. Not just in the morning, when he comes out of the prayer room, he comes out into the next place of blessing God while I live. He's finished praying now. Now he's blessing God during the day. Amen. While he's riding his horse, he's blessing God. There's no time to, you know, go back into the quiet time and pray. He's blessing God while he's living his day. While we're on the computer. God, I just bless you. I just thank you for the breath of life. Lord, I just thank you. While I'm driving the car, Lord, I just thank you. While Uncle Vinod is doing the carpentry, Lord, I thank you. I give you praise for healing me. Amen. I will bless you while I live. During the day, I will bless you while I live. And that talks about focus. Amen. Our focus must be filled with the fullness of God. With God, seeing him, seeing who he is. But it doesn't finish there. It goes even better. Then he says, my lips shall praise you, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you, joyful lips. And this is the part. Verse 6, when I remember you on where? My bed. Wow, he gets up in the morning, he has his quiet time, he blesses the Lord during the day. While he's dealing with the problems and the issues, his focus is still on Jesus, focus is still on God. And then when he puts his head to the pillow, he remembers his God. Wow. All through the day, morning, lunchtime, nighttime, all through the day, his focus is fixed on God. And that's the key to the turnaround, amen? The key to the turnaround, any situation, while you're dealing with your problems, keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on Jesus. Oh, the water bill is so big. How will you pay the water bill? It might get cut off. Early in the morning, I will seek you. The doctor said, I've got high blood pressure. I will bless you while I live, oh God. You might say, doesn't make sense. Yes, of course it doesn't. The things of God doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Amen. Oh, no, no, no. You should worry about your problem. Amen. You should worry about your problem. No, no, no. Jesus said, how much worry you can change your situation, right? My children are rebellious. I will remember you on my bed. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, you don't understand. My children don't listen to me. I will remember you on my bed, O Lord. Hallelujah. It takes discipline to discipline ourselves to focus correctly on God. The Bible says Daniel prayed 3 times a day, morning, lunchtime, and night. And he was sent to the lion's den because of it. Let me tell you, the devil will attack you every step of the way to change your focus. He'll get you to think on other things. He'll bring pressures across you. He will make things happen that will make you, you know, lose your focus. But you have to get it back to Jesus. Amen? Get it back to God. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He knew the law was against him praying because there was a law. You cannot pray to any other God except to Nebuchadnezzar. If you pray to any other God in 30 days, to any other God, you'll be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel knew. Did he stop? No. He went and prayed. Prayed. Matthew 14:28, it tells us that when the disciples were in the boat, there was a great storm, right? Right, you remember the story, there was a great storm. And when the disciples saw the wind and the waves were so big, but when they looked into the storm, they saw a man walking towards them. They looked properly and they said, Jesus, this is Jesus. You know, some of them said, no, this is a ghost, this is a spirit. Jesus said, no, don't be afraid, it is I. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come and I will come to you. Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. Obedience. See, obedience will activate the supernatural power of God. Obedience. You need obedience. You can't just look to Jesus and do nothing. Amen? You need obedience. Obedience is the switch, is the trigger. See, you giving your tithes on Sundays or paying your tithes, that's obedience. It triggers the supernatural power of God to start working in your family. But what maintains and what keeps the power of God flowing is your focus. Amen. When Peter listened to those words, it said, come, immediately obeyed. It opened the supernatural power of God. As soon as he stepped out of the boat, he walked on the water through obedience. But what needed him to continue that walk was his focus. He needed to focus on Jesus. As long as he looked to Jesus, he could walk on the water. But as soon as he saw the wind and the waves, that it was violent, he began to sink. He sunk. And he cried out, Jesus! And Jesus saved him. You see, you still need obedience. You need obedience to open, to trigger, to switch on the supernatural power of God. When God speaks, you obey. It opens it up. But in order to keep the supernatural working, you need to keep your focus on Christ. Keep your focus on Jesus. Look to Jesus, that in spite of the storm, you will walk on the water. Amen. You might have nothing around you. Nothing. But you can still walk on the water. Some of us are very comfortable in the boat. Amen. We are seeing the wind and the waves and it looks so big. And Jesus says, come. And we, come. We need to be people who are willing to obey. Step out. Step out and obey. You can focus on Jesus all you want. Celebrate his presence. But until you obey, the supernatural doesn't flow. Obedience. Soon as you step out and focus on Christ. Amen. You have to obey and then focus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That means you look to Jesus, the beginning and the end. You look to Jesus from when you start your faith walk till the time you end. You keep looking to Jesus. Hello, everyone. As soon as Peter stepped out of the boat, he walked out of the boat by the supernatural power of God. He listened to those words, come, and he stepped out. But he had to keep looking to Jesus till the finish, the author and the finisher of our faith. You begin and you end with Christ. You don't look away from Jesus till he says it's finished. You keep looking to Jesus and keep going. Amen. I remember Brian Houston shared this story. He was one of the speakers in the conference, but this was not from the conference, this was from somewhere else. But he shared this story, I read it. He said, when they first started the church, they started in a school building, in a very small school classroom. And he said that as they began to have services, the church began to grow so fast so that they had to book a warehouse. So they moved into the warehouse. He said the warehouse was quite large. It was quite a good place, concrete floor. The problem was, on the first floor, the railing wasn't secure. You know, they had church services on the ground floor, on the cement, but on the first floor, they put all their office and all the other things. Administration block was on the first floor. And he said the problem is with the warehouse was that they didn't put proper railings. There were steps going up to the office, but the railings were very weak. He says one day he was, they were still new in the warehouse, and he was in his office. Bobby was in another part of the building, and he was in his office working. And he said, and at that time they had their first son, who was called Ben. Ben was only 2 years old at that time. Today, Ben was only two years old at that time. He said he was in his office doing some work when he heard all of a sudden a loud thud, and he jumped up and he said to himself, "Oh Lord, I pray it's not Ben." And he ran out of the office. When he ran out of the office and he looked over the rail, he looked on the concrete floor, he saw his son face up with blood coming out of his head. He ran down the steps. He ran to his son. There was no breathing. There was nothing. The flesh was beginning to turn slightly blue. He said Bobby, his wife, came running from the back. She also heard the thud. It was that loud. She came running, and he was saying, going through my mind was a million things. He said, but it was like everything was in slow motion. It was like an eternity, and yet only a few seconds was passing. I ran to my son, and there he was, not breathing, not speaking, turning blue. He said the thoughts came, doctor and all this, but the thing that came from his heart, he just grabbed his son Ben. And the only thing that came from his heart was, came from his heart through his mouth was, "Jesus! Jesus!" And he said, as soon as he yelled Jesus, his son's eyes flickered and he breathed. Immediately, just breathed. We have no idea how these things happen. But just in a split second, his son received life. Today, his son is a pastor in the Melbourne campus. He still has the scar of the fracture. God did an absolute miracle, because he cried from his heart, looking unto Jesus. Amen? There are times in your life when you really struggle with pain and you struggle with things. What do you do? You simply have to obey. But if nothing comes from God, look at the word. Nothing is there. Just simply look to Jesus. Amen? Look to Jesus. He will lift you up. He will turn it around. Amen. Psalm 63 doesn't end with remembering God on the bed. Remember I said that how David turned his situation around was in Psalm 63. He woke up in the morning. The first thing he did was seek the Lord. During the day, bless the Lord. At night, when he put his head to the pillow, he remembered God. You know, right through the day, he remembered God. Psalm 63. Then it came back down right towards the ninth verse. He says, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. They shall be a portion for jackals. What are we talking about? There are attacks of the enemy that come against you, either direct demonic oppression that comes against you, or even through people. What do you do when people seek your destruction? What do you do when people lie about you? When people blame you for things? When people, you know, when they slander your family name or something like that? When they betray you and do things against you? What do you do when people seek to destroy you? What do you do when the enemy comes against you and the pressure is on? You keep doing what David did. Amen. keep seeking God morning, through the day, night time. Early in the morning, I will seek you. This is pretty advanced stuff. Amen. This is spiritual warfare 301, not 101, 301. And I encourage everyone. You can be a young Christian and yet you can still live a life of great power and authority. We're not called to just seek God in the morning. We're called to bless His name during the day. Amen. We're called to remember God when we go to bed. That's Psalm 63. It says, I will remember you on my bed. Amen. I will remember you on my bed. So while the enemy is attacking and Saul is coming and 400 men needs to be fed, what does David do? He keeps seeking God, keeps blessing God, keeps thinking on God as he meditates in the night. And what does God do? Those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. When you put God first in your life, when you keep seeking God, when you keep looking to Jesus, those who come against you, they will go to the lower parts of the earth. They will struggle. They will fight against you, but they will not be successful. It's very quiet right now. That is true. People who come against you, you don't have to be worrying about this witchcraft, that witchcraft, whether this person said something, whether that person did something against you. No, no, no. Stop looking at the people. Stop looking, you know, at all these things. Look to Jesus. Amen. That's what David is saying. He said, look to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of everything else. He'll take care of that devil. He'll take care of that person who seeks your destruction or betrays you and does all these things against you. Jesus will take care of it. That's why God says, no, no, no. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Wow, Pastor, why are you talking about vengeance? Well, let me tell you, there are people who seek your destruction. There are witch doctors. There are, you know, different things that are happening. Some things we don't even see, but it's happening against you. Let me tell you, just focus on Jesus. Amen? Let's not focus on the witchcraft, because these witch doctors are nothing. They are nothing compared to Jesus. The way people speak about witch doctors as if they are so big, they are not big. Hello? Amen. I like that. Praise the Lord. I said amen in a little bit. Amen. That is true. I went across to, when I was in Wellington, after the conference, we went across to Palmerston North. I went to visit an old friend of mine. We used to work together in the bank. He was the accountant. I used to look after a different section. He was a very strong Hindu. His name is Manoj Dutt. Very strong Hindu staying in Corvuto. You know where Dennis is today? Dennis? He was the owner of that building before. So we used to work together. So he left, he went to New Zealand. He bought a courier company. Then now I think he's working somewhere else. He's doing very well. I found out that this guy became a Christian, and I was wondering, how did he become a Christian? So we went from the conference. I got in touch with him. I said, brother, I want to come and visit you. He said, come and sleep the night. So we went and slept over the night. And he was telling us, he said, you know, when we came to New Zealand, my wife, she was sitting there, was so sick. She was so sick that we were so desperate, went to the doctors, x-ray, everything, nothing could work. It came to the point that we actually from Palmerston North used to catch the flight and come over to the witch doctor in Nandi. Catch the flight. So the witch doctor used to promise them, you know, he used to tell them, don't worry, your wife will be better. They used to go back and the wife got worse. And the witch doctor used to get in touch with him. Please, Manoj, can you send one laptop for my son? So he sent the laptop. He spent money for the witch doctor. And the witch doctor promised him. The wife grew worse and worse and worse. So they found out there's another witch doctor in Auckland. So they contacted the witch doctor. And the witch doctor said, come, I will fix you. They went across to Auckland. And the witch doctor said a few words, did something and said, don't worry, you go now, your wife will be better. They went back, the wife never got better, got worse. And the witch doctor said, you come and see me again on this day, appointment. He said, before the appointment, he was sitting in his office in the bank one day, And he was so desperate. He was just so down. He was discouraged. And then he began to think, whom do I know that I used to work with in the bank? Man, I wish he thought of me, but he didn't think of me. But anyway. He said, whom did I used to work with? So he remembered Freddie Cashman. I don't know whether some of you know Freddie. Brother Freddie, we used to work in the bank together. Anyway, see, so he said, oh, I remembered Freddie. So he just called Freddie. Freddie was in Auckland at the time. Freddie had got his life sorted out and everything else. He was back in Auckland with his family. So he called Brother Freddie. And so when he called Freddie, he said, you know, I was just talking to Freddie. I just want to talk about old times. I didn't want to talk about my issue. I just needed to talk to somebody from Fiji. So he said, well, I was talking to Freddie. From my mouth, all of a sudden, all this pain started to come out. He said, I started complaining. I started telling him about my wife. You know, is struggling, and all these doctors tried to do something, couldn't do anything for her. And Freddie said, you know, Manoj, I'm coming to your house tomorrow. Freddie flew from Auckland, flew to Palmerston North, stayed with one of his family, and visited Manoj's family for 3 weeks. I said, man, I wish I was a pastor like this. He gave his time to stay with Manoj's family for 3 weeks. Ministered deliverance to his wife. Ministered over 3 weeks. And then Pastor Ezekiel used to be Calvary Church in Lotoka. Bui and I know him quite well. He's Pastor Ezekiel. He's in Palmerston North now. So he got in touch with him as well, Pastor Freddie. And then they started talking to Manoj. By the second week, Manoj and Freddie went out for a cup of coffee. The wife was getting better by this time. When they were having coffee, Manoj was telling us, he said, you know, I told Pastor Freddie, I don't care what happens to my wife. If, you know, Freddie, even if my wife gets better, I will not convert to Christianity. He told Freddie. Why? Because he's a strong Hindu. He said, I will not convert to Christianity. Freddie said, no, I'm not going to force you, brother. We're not here to force you. We're here just to help you with your family. So they kept praying for the wife. By the third week, the wife got better. He saw the miracle with his own eyes. He said, you know, I almost lost my job in the bank because of the witch doctors. They used to tell me, come now. So he used to leave and fly. Leave the bank, and the bank manager used to look for him. He was so desperate. He said, but when Freddie came and Jesus came into my house, Freddie, Pastor Ezekiel, all these men of God stood with his family. His wife got totally healed. He said, I was sitting down one day with my family. I saw my wife was totally healed. He said, I told my family, you know, I'm going to get baptized. You know, this is the same man who had told Freddie, I don't care if my wife gets healed, I won't get baptized. I won't convert. But when he saw the miracle, his heart changed. Amen. You know, we don't have to force Hindus, Muslims to come to Christ. Amen. They need to see the miracle. They need to see the love of God in your life. When they see the love of God, don't have to force them. When they see the love of God, something will change. Because, you know, nothing else is real. You know, nothing is real. Whatever the witch doctors do, that's not real. Jesus is real. Amen. Bible says he's the truth. He said, I'm going to be baptized. How about you? And he pointed to his family. He has a wife and two daughters, plus a small son. Everyone in his family, yes, I want to be baptized. All of them, one by one, yes, I want to be baptized. The whole family got baptized. He said, you know, Pastor Conan, every night we have a prayer meeting together. With my family, I have prayer meeting. I tell you, I was so blessed that day. I was so blessed. I was thinking, see what God can do. Amen? Wow. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Let's go before the Lord and let's pray before we take communion. I don't know about you, but whatever situation you're facing, God can turn it around. And he will turn it around. But you need to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus this morning. He will turn it around. I want to encourage you If there are things that you know you needed to obey God, then you need to start obeying Him. Because that's the first key. Obedience. And you need to start looking to Jesus. You need to stop listening to those negative voices. You need to stop listening to those negative things that come against you. You need to start looking to the Word of God and look to Jesus. Jesus will turn it around. Jesus is the key. Witch doctors will never help you. Jesus is the key. Turn it around.